to Ham Radio and More, the program that specializes in amateur radio in the valley and around the world. Whether you're already a ham or have always wanted to be one, you'll find out about interesting events and issues regarding amateur radio. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Lynn, call 230-2755. That's 230-2755. Or outside the local area, call 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by AEA Incorporated, Wallpaper World, and Ken Nichols. Now, here's the host of Ham Radio and More, Lynn Winkler.
CQ, 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 Arizona, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the only show of its kind in America. I'm your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. Today's show is sponsored by AEA Incorporated, Wallpaper World, and Ken Nichols of Lindebrock Auto Mall. We have a new phone number since last week, and that is 230-2755, 230-2755. And in DX land, where we gladly pay for your phone call, 1-800-293-KFNN. So you can call us at 230-2755 or 1-800-293-KFNN. Give us a call, get on board, be part of the show, and we'll be looking for some radio and computer gear that you want to buy, sell, or trade in the second hour of our show from 1 to 2. So get your items ready. This hour, however, we'll pass along some news, and we'll talk to my guest, Todd Lefkowitz, N7 PMP. Welcome, Todd.
Thank you very much, Lynn. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, we're glad to have you. And we'll be discussing many topics. First, we're going to even talk about the DX Packet Cluster, which, if you're not familiar with what the DX Packet Cluster does, it's really an amazing packet item software program. We'll also talk about some antenna restrictions, shortwave utility listening, weather satellites, and what a satellite TV system has other than just video. And it has a lot of stuff that you can pick up. How easy it is to get a license to operate in France and Germany also, since Todd's going over there and had to get one. So stay with us and join in. And if you have any club announcements or want to talk about some special topics, just give us a call now. Again, our number, it's new, is 230-2755, 230-2755. And we'll also have a few trivia contests with some circus tickets that we're going to be giving away, as well as some T-shirts, so or a T-shirt anyway. But we do have 4 circus tickets to give away. Kind of neat. Something new and different. Okay, this Thursday, the ARA, the Arizona Repeater Association, is having their 25th anniversary celebration. And they've been around for 25 years. That's a long time for a club in the valley. They have over 800 members now, and they're looking to go up to 1,000. And this Thursday, April the 23rd, they will be having, like I say, their 25th anniversary. And everyone's invited to attend, obviously. They are going to have all kinds of people there, people who founded the first beginnings of ARA. They're going to have, they said, possibly Lou Grubb, who was one of the originals, and many other people. So they're also going to have free coffee and cake, etc. So that's at the United Way building at 1515 East Osborne. Starts at 7:30. And 1515 East Osborne, of course, right next to 16th Street in Osborne. And everybody's encouraged to attend. That's this Thursday. Don't miss it. They've been pushing it a lot on the airwaves, on 2 meters and stuff, and you should try to get there. Have a big turnout to celebrate ARA's 25th anniversary. Also, the Cochise Radio Radio Club Spring Fest takes place the first week of May, May 2nd and 3rd. They're holding their annual Ham Fest at Green Acres. It's located 9 miles east of Sierra Vista, 2 miles south of Highway 90 on Monson Road. The talk-in is on 146.1676. There's free admission and parking. It's always a pretty good Ham Fest that the Cochise Amateur Radio Club puts on. The fee for tailgating, if you want to sell something, is $5, and that includes 5 free prize tickets. Ham radio and computer vendors are welcome. They have their famous junk sale ongoing. There's prizes and prizes and prizes. And in fact, they're giving away things like a Yaesu FT-747, a Ranger 10-meter mobile, a Butternut HF-6VX antenna, and much more. You don't even have to be present to win, but you probably need to buy a ticket. otherwise, you're not going to be entered. They have lots of food and drink on site, a pancake breakfast on Saturday and Sunday. There's VE exams on Saturday, and it's going to be at the EOC, the corner of Highway 92 in the foothills. So make plans. If you want more information, the Cochise Amateur Radio Association can be reached at 602-378-3155. That's 378-3155. Or you can call Rick at 459-1039. 459-1039. And I have a map if anybody's interested and wants to know how to get there from Phoenix. I do have a map that they gave me, and I could be happy to pass that along to you. That's May 2nd and 3rd. Then make plans for the Ham Fest at Fort Tuthill, which takes place July 24th, 25th, and 26th. And that's, of course, ARCA's big event of the year. Usually we have 5,000 or more people there. Talk-in frequencies are 147.08 and 442.125. They're going to give away first prize a TM-741, a tri-bander VHF, UHF rig, which is kind of a neat prize. They're giving away a Yaesu 757 as a second prize, a Cushcraft R7 as a third prize, and a Diamond SX-1000 power meter for the fourth prize. And those are pretty good. Tailgate fees are $10 per space. Camping fees are $5 per night. But it's a fantastic, there's free admission. It's a fantastic event, and everybody make plans now. If for no other reason, in July, you'll want to go up there because it's nice and cool. And when it's 110 down here, you want to get up there. Also, August 20th through the 23rd is the ARRL, which is the American Radio Relay League National Convention. That takes place, again, August 20th through the 23rd in Los Angeles at the Airport Marriott Hotel. It's sponsored by the Los Angeles Area Council of Amateur Radio Clubs and the Orange County Council of Amateur Radio Organizations. And you know, if you are an early bird register, you get a free logo pin. Now, see, Todd, that means you should register early. They're going to have exhibit hours all Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They've got tons of prizes they're giving away. There's going to be programs on ARRL, on the FCC, on antennas, on RFI, on DX contesting, Aries, Races, AMSAT, QCWA, Mars, T-Hunting, oh, I like that, ATV, Legal Forum. There's even going to be a Wolf Hong. You ever been to a Wolf Hong, Todd?
No, never had the privilege.
Do you know what it is?
Vaguely.
I was lucky enough to attend this at the Scottsdale Convention that was held last year. And it's an interesting thing. It takes place at midnight. I can't divulge more because it's a secret, super secret society.
Right, that's like the Order of the Arrow in the Boy Scouts.
Oh, don't even talk about that. This is even more secretive. Secret. There's a secret handshake. I can't even divulge anymore. I'm sorry. Sunday, there's a breakfast, an auction, and don't try calling our number and getting information on the Wolf Hong because I'm not going to divulge it. But if you want more information on the ARRL National Convention, you can call 1-800-322-CORP. 1-800-322-CORP. Let's see, early bird registration, $10. And then there's the breakfast and all the other things. So make plans. That's August 20th through the 23rd. Okay, I hope everybody's celebrating a holiday this weekend of some sort, either Easter or Passover, or most people are anyway. So it's a holiday weekend, and everybody should have a happy holiday. Dennis Campbell, who is the ARA person, chairman of the Public Service Committee, his phone number 979-6715, still looking for help. This coming April 25th, 26th, the Cancer Society Great American Bike Ride. They still need a couple people for that. They need a couple of people for the Clean Air Challenge on May 3rd, which is a Sunday, and the Bud Light Triathlon, which is Sunday, May 17th. So if you want to volunteer, and it's fun to volunteer, you might even get a free T-shirt or something for volunteering, but it's a lot of fun going out there seeing, being a part of the events, call Dennis Campbell at 979-6715, 979-6715. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. Oh, okay. The Packet Group. There's a new Packet Group forming here in Phoenix. I know a lot of people are getting on the Packet. I turn on 145.11, and there's always constant back and forth, Packetizing. And Barney, KB7KOE, is spearheading a new Packet Club. No dues, no initiation, none of that. No rigid rules, no presidents, just to get together to talk about Packet. And if you're interested, he wants to set up a breakfast or lunch, which is convenient for people, at a restaurant in centrally located area. You can give Barney a call at 861-2817. 861-2817. That's Barney, KB7KOE, if you're interested in starting a Packet Break Club. I'm having a show next month, which was planned a while ago, with Ed, and who is the QSL manager for Father Moran. And Father Moran, of course, is 9N1MM. And I just read that he died on April the 14th. So that's unfortunate. Father Moran is a very interesting person who's been a Jesuit priest, I believe, in Nepal, and very 86 years old, very, very interesting ham, and I guess the only ham in Nepal, I'm not sure, and we're still going to go through with that show, which is going to take place May 17th, but it even has more significance now, and we'll find out all about Father Moran. Again, sorry to hear that he died. I guess he had a heart failure. So that's what can do you in. The Explorer Post 599 has ham radio classes every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. at DeVry, every Wednesday. And everyone's invited. There's no age requirement or limitation or anything. If you want to learn ham radio, you go to DeVry at 6 p.m. on Wednesday evenings, and they'll be teaching it. Explorer Post 599, and DeVry is at 23rd Avenue in Dunlap. You can call 971-2427, 971-2427, or 435-0992, 435-0992 for more information. I believe there is no charge, Forrest. So you can go there this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. You know, I'm sure they'll be happy to take donations, but, really, is no, to my knowledge, there's no charge. In fact, let's see, I got a message here. There are new officers of Explorer Post 599. Eric, KB7OBK, Eric Steedley, is the president. Boy, this is an Eric club. My goodness, listen to this. Eric Steedley, KB7OBK, is the president. Eric Tannehill, N7TBZ, is the vice president. And Eric Edelman, N7PHT, is the treasurer. And Mary Baca is the secretary. How did somebody not name Eric get in that bunch? That's pretty funny that three Erics are in there. Well, anyway, they have two new repeaters. 448.8 down, you know, and 147.02 plus are their two repeaters. The 440 machine will be off the air in the near future. The reason is because they've gotten a new radio and a new site. The 147.02 machine is located at the base of South Mountain, and the 440 machine will be going to the top of the hill. The 2-meter machine will be linked to 224.2, and a remote base will be in North Scottsdale. The remote will also be on 14702. The reason for that is so the repeater can be easily accessible to anyone. And if you have any other questions or comments, you can call Eric at 971-2427, 971-2427. Boy, oh boy, all this information. I have one more letter, then I'm going to take a little drink here. One more bit of information. You know, I always talk about tea hunters because I like to go out and hunt those hidden transmitters. So, you know, we've gotten like 11, 12 teams now that participate in our monthly tea hunting meetings or get-togethers, hunts, and we really enjoy it and have a lot of fun. Adult hide-and-go-seek, I guess, is sort of the way you can look at it. But tea hunting really serves a purpose, and of course that's to find transmitters like from airplanes when they go down. You got to hunt those down and be able to find where they are, ELTs. And also I have an article here from the ARRL letter dated February the 24th, and it's by Hank Downey, K5QNE. And I want to read this because I want to show you that amateur transmitter hunters get involved in a lot of things. And that it's not just because we have nothing better to do. I mean, there is a purpose. Law enforcement officers credited the transmitter hunting skills of four Mississippi Gulf Coast amateurs with the apprehension of seven people and the recovery of $10,000 in radios stolen from a Mississippi electronics dealership. The operation began on the night of November 17th when a security guard at, now I'm going to try to pronounce this, Pascagoula's Ingalls Shipbuilding reported hearing unauthorized radio transmissions on a plant two-way frequency. Police, already investigating the theft of the communications gear only hours earlier from Martin Communications and Electronics, felt the two incidents were connected, and police captain Wayne McCarty, but they lacked the equipment or expertise to track down the signals. So they contacted Chuck Bardsley, KE5TL, to enlist the aid of local hams. I got a call from Chuck asking me to go on a real tea hunt, said Gary Fender, W6SZX. The Moss Point Police Department and the Naval Investigative Service needed help in locating the thieves. They were using the transceivers to taunt the police and interrupt other services around 153 megahertz. That night, Bardsley and Fender gathered their DF gear and linked up with Fred Wolf, KE5SJ, and Ray Walker, KB5FDW. They then met with a Naval Investigative Service agent from a 10-man team from the Moss Point Police Department to lay out a plan to track the thieves. Each tea hunter was to be accompanied by an armed detective carrying 800 megahertz frequency hopping communications gear. There was a concern that the thieves would see or hear us and quit transmitting. The 800 megahertz gear cannot be understood on a scanner. The hams took little time in tracking the telltale signals to a Moss Point neighborhood, but the transmission stopped and each monitoring vehicle took up a hiding position in the suspected areas. Unlike our regular tea hunts, where the hidden transmitter has to hide and be inconspicuous, this time the hunters had to hide as well. Driving around them with rooftop-mounted quads and Yagis wasn't possible. When there were still no further transmissions, police stirred up some activity by having a fire engine pass through the area with siren blaring. That did the trick. The transmissions were very short, but with much patience, we were able to get bearings. The bearings were plotted, and a search warrant obtained, and the police prepared to go in. For safety reasons, the amateurs weren't allowed to accompany the officers when they rushed a suspected residence, but they were soon to see the fruits of their labors. Police found part of the stolen equipment in the house and recovered the balance in a nearby wooded area. Four adults and a juvenile were arrested immediately, and two more were arrested the next day. The seven, all Moss Point residents, were charged with commercial burglary or receiving stolen goods. All except the juvenile were jailed. The operation was well documented in several articles in the Mississippi Press newspaper, each of which detailed the invaluable role of the hams. Said Fender, seeing those thieves locked up was rewarding, but the best part was when the police team affectionately dubbed us the Snoop Squad. So, Anyway, that just shows that tea hunters do get involved with real-life situations. They actually nab some people who violated a crime. So, Todd, what's new and exciting in your life?
Well, nothing all that much. I'm getting ready to take my trip to Puerto Rico in 2 weeks that I won on Jeopardy, and that's exciting. Haven't had a vacation in a while, so looking forward to that, and going to take a 2-meter handy-talkie with me to Whiskey Papa Foreland and practice my very rusty Spanish.
And for those out there who don't know where Whiskey Papa Foreland is, you want to tell us?
That's Puerto Rico.
Okay. Now, you don't need any special license, because that's part of us, right?
That's right. You know, being a Commonwealth and part of the United States, your regular ticket is all that you need.
But you are going to be going to France and Germany.
That's right. I'm going to an ophthalmology conference in Paris in the very beginning of September, right after Labor Day, and I figured it would be a great opportunity to get on the air and use the repeater networks and maybe even talk just simplex to some of the hams in France and in Germany.
So what kind of things did you have to go through in order to get a license? How easy was it?
Actually, it's very easy, and one of the nice things about being part of the CADXA, I'll put in a plug for my favorite club over here, is that you have a lot of people in the club who've gone on de-expeditions and have a vast amount of experience with how to get licensed in various parts of the world. Actually, it's quite a bit easier to get licensed for France and Germany than it is to some of these countries that some of our big gun DXers have been to. It's actually very simple. The ARRL in Newington, Connecticut has on file the forms for most of the countries that people would commonly visit. So your first point of contact would really be to give the ARRL a call and tell them which countries you plan to be visiting and send them a SASE, and they'll send you the application forms and the instructions on how to file for the applications.
Okay.
Yeah, because even though we have reciprocity with a lot of countries like France and Germany, you can't just show up in those countries with your own U.S. ticket and legally be allowed to operate. You still have to get a special permit from those countries in order to do the operating. Of course, in a place like Puerto Rico and in Canada, you don't need to do that. But if you're talking about any other foreign countries, you do have to, I think in most cases, get hold of a special permit.
Well, now, let's say in Germany and France, do you have a list, or is there something published of what frequencies they're using on 2 meters, or where the repeaters are? Do they have a publication like that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the nice things about the international department at the ARRL is that they will send you, along with the application forms and instructions, repeater maps, I guess, where available for various countries. And for France and Germany, they gave me maps for 2 meters, and I think also for the 440 band for both of those countries. So I have an idea when I arrive as to which frequencies are available. Also, I would imagine by writing to the amateur radio societies in either of those countries, you could probably get an even more detailed list of information about the repeater networks. And again, we have people in the club that are familiar with those countries.
Okay, we're going to break for news at the half hour. You're listening to KFNN AM 1510 Financial News Radio. We'll get back to Todd and myself and anyone else who wants to ask a question and get online, 230-2755, 230-2755. We'll have some trivia questions in the next half hour, along with information on the DX packet cluster and more. And also we'll talk about the Dallas Remote Imaging Group, which I'm not too familiar with, and more news and all kinds of interesting things. So stay tuned. This is Len Winkler, Ham Radio and More, KFNN. Again, our number, 230-2755. We'll also have Nick's Corner coming up. So keep listening.
Financial News Radio, AM 1510, KFNN.
You're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN. If you'd like to join in the conversation, call 230-2755. That's 230-2755. Or outside the local dialing area, call 1-800-293-KFNN. Now, with more about amateur radio, here's your host, Len Winkler.
Welcome back, guys and gals. This is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, along with Todd Lefkowitz and 7PMP, and we're here to discuss amateur radio. Our phone number on Ham Radio More is 230-2755 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And when we broke for news, we were discussing getting licenses in Europe or in other places. And Todd brought up during the break a money exchange problem. So I want to bring that up. Not a problem, but how to do it.
Right. One of the things that most of these countries will require is a little fee in order to process your application. You need to send copies of your American ticket, of course. And each country has certain requirements. In Germany, they require a letter of good conduct, which is a letter from your local police department indicating that you don't have a criminal record.
You had to do that?
Yeah, it was very easy in Scottsdale. I just went and for $3 got a copy of a letter of good conduct. So that wasn't all that difficult.
Did they check anything to make sure, or they just check and make sure your record's clean?
Yeah, they just look at your record, and then they have a form that laser printer coughs up stating that that you're not wanted for anything and that you're of sufficient moral character to operate in another country. And that was easy enough to obtain. The French, for some reason, did not require that.
Only England?
Only Germany.
Germany.
There must be other countries that require it, but I was just looking for those two countries. Most of what they require is the money. And in Germany, I think it was 15 Deutschmarks, and in France, it was 100 francs, roughly about $10 to $15 processing fee. The problem is that they want the money sent in local currency. And I found out the easiest, although not necessarily the cheapest way of doing that, is to go down to your local bank and ask for an international money order. And sometimes it'll cost you almost as much to pay the bank for the money order fee than it does to actually apply for the license itself. So it is expensive, but at least an easy way to do. So you pay your bank in American money, and they write a check to a local bank in those countries, and the various authorities get paid that way. So I would recommend to anybody, unless they know somebody who has personal checking accounts in those particular countries, to just go the route of the international money order. And you send the check and the package of forms and Xeroxes of your license, and it doesn't hurt to have the photocopy of your American license notarized, because I think in some of those countries they like to see official looking seals. And you send that to the addresses that are mentioned in the ARRL documents, and I was amazed at how quickly I got my license back. I got the license back from the French authority in 2 weeks and from the German authority in about 3 weeks. And now I have a call sign for both countries. In France, I'm going to be F-N7PMP, and in Germany, I'll be DL-N7PMP. And I'm looking forward to getting on the air, making some contacts before I go over there, and perhaps be able to use somebody's HF facilities to speak with my buddies back home. If not, at least I'll have my little 2-meter rig with me, so I'll be able to use the handy talkie to speak to people while I'm over there.
Are you aware if they use the same offsets that we use?
No, the offsets are a little different, and I don't remember off the top of my head what they are. I don't remember them mentioning it in the information that I got from the ARRL. Also, a lot of the repeaters in Europe require a 1750 hertz tone burst in order to activate. I've been told that if you whistle at the right frequency, you could probably bring up some of those repeaters. I'll have to find out if I can whistle at 1750 hertz, but I'm looking into that problem, just another one of the many challenges in this hobby. And I purchased a little device from Ramsey Electronics back in New York that apparently will allow you to give a tone burst of any particular frequency. So I'm waiting to get that kit in the mail, and I'll put that together. So if I can't whistle at 1750, I'll have an alternate method of bringing up those repeaters.
Sounds good. Okay, well, that's interesting. I'm going to have to get to one of these places one of these years and get a license in Germany and France. That sounds neat. Of course, if you go to a worldwide trip, it can cost you a few dollars, huh? Get a license in all the countries.
That's right. They're probably not worth getting too many of them. I'm going to be in Belgium for a day, but I'm not going to bother. This international money order business is getting to be very expensive.
They don't give you a one-day temporary license. Huh?
No, actually, that's a good point. In France and Germany, I think each of those licenses is valid for a three-month period, starting on the first day of your visit and going for 3 months from that point.
Okay. We're going to try a trivia question, and these are not necessarily ham-related because, as most people know, Todd was on Jeopardy and did quite well, actually, but we're not here to talk about that today. We've done that before. So we have a couple of trivia questions. We'll start with we'll start with that first one that you have, and I'm going to give away two tickets to the International Three-Ring Bentley Brothers Circus. And there's performances all over Phoenix, Mesa, Yuma. Okay, well, Yuma isn't right all over Phoenix, but Mesa's is today, actually. You still have, you can win this, come on, pick it up, and go to the 3 and 6 o'clock one. Or you can go into Scottsdale. They have one on the 22nd, Chandler the 23rd and 24th, Glendale the 25th and 26th. Actually, you can go, Flagstaff tomorrow and Tuesday, and Yuma is the end of the week, next week. But these are two tickets, and they're free, and all we need you to do is answer the following question correctly, and our phone number is 230-2755 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And Todd, ask the question.
Okay, I think we'll start with an easy one first to get all these sleepers going here. This steel structure was erected at the Paris 1889 exposition to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the French Revolution.
Well, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's not a particularly tough one.
Okay, so again, we'll take calls at 230-2755. Let's go to the next step, which is the DX packet cluster. What is the DX packet cluster?
Okay, well, I don't have 3 weeks to talk about that, and I'm far from being the expert. In different parts of the valley here that allows anybody who's interested in DXing and has a packet set up available using a 2-meter packet to be able to access loads and loads of information about what's going on in the DX world, what DX is out there, and where to look, basically.
Well, I know I've connected. There's three different places you can connect. We're talking about packet, of course, and there's three different places, three different frequencies you can connect. What were those three?
Okay, the Central Arizona DX Association packet cluster uses three frequencies. 145.09 is the K7NO node, and that's located in the Mesa Tempe Chandler area. There's the N7CIX node, which is 144.93, and that's located in the western part of the valley. And then there's K5VT, which is 145.03, and that's located in the northeastern part of the valley.
Okay, I know we have a winner, and then I don't see my light blinking. I'm going to check and see. Hello, is someone on the air there? Hello? Oh, I guess we have a winner, but no longer on the line. Well, okay. Well, we actually had three winners, didn't we? All three lines. Oh, you have the information. Okay. Well, let me know who it is so I can announce it. Or Paul, you should come call back. Does he have a call sign? No, we don't know. Okay, well, the winning answer, Todd, was?
Let's see. What is the Empire State Building? No,
wrong,
no,
wrong,
no, no. What is the Eiffel Tower?
Correct. And now, but see, I got to talk to Paul and find out if he's going to come and pick these tickets up. Because, you know, we can't mail them. They're valid today. Why'd you hang up, Paul? Okay, well, Paul, you're the winner. We did have all the lines lit and all the people had the right answer. We'll give away some more circus tickets a little later and also a T-shirt, like I said. So keep listening. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt there. Now, we've got the three frequencies and... it's to facilitate DX communications. It's interesting how it operates. Actually, it's connected to a lot of places, isn't it? All over.
Yeah, and I don't understand. Again, I'm not really the expert on this, but through various connections, they're open to DXing groups in California, in New Mexico, in Western Texas, and sometimes a little further afield from those places that I just mentioned. Of course, all of Arizona is linked up as well, and you'd need somebody who really understands the structure of the cluster to explain how the linkages actually operate. But if you're like me and you're working towards your first DXCC award, something like the packet cluster is indispensable because you can keep that going. And when one of the people who list countries on the cluster list the country that you need, it lists, of course, the frequency and the call sign and some comments about the particular station. And then you just go to your HF rig, dial in the frequency, and if you're lucky, if your antenna setup will allow you, you can hear that station and then make the contact. And I must say that almost all of the stations that I have, and I'm 71 countries confirmed now toward my DXCC, is through the packet cluster. And it's just indispensable, even if you use it mainly for adding countries to your DXCC list, nothing is better than having the DX packet cluster.
It even beeps you.
That's right. I haven't activated that particular function, but yes, there's a way of letting the cluster know what countries you need, and you can get yourself beeped when those countries show up. And I have not used that particular function. I don't really listen or DX every day, but I usually do turn on the cluster. And sometimes there are just loads and loads of stations that come across. Other times it's rather quiet. During contests, it's particularly useful.
Since you brought up contests and since we're talking about DXing, etc., next week our guest is going to be Lee Finkel, KY7M. And if you don't know Lee, Lee is the consummate DXer and contester. Maybe... I don't want to put anyone down, but maybe the best in Arizona, or certainly one of the top five or so. He's in everything. He goes all over the country, all over the world sometimes on some D expeditions that he's going on to make contacts, and a really interesting guy. And next week we'll be discussing contests, all the different contests, and there are tons of contests, and we'll also be discussing his strategy on how to win them. Also, he's very instrumental in the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club's field day, and the fact that we do come in second and first west of the Mississippi, and we use his strategy. So it should be very interesting. He's also going to discuss how to get that hard QSL card back, because, you know, we may they don't want it in these faraway places. Some of these people, they get thousands of them from America, and they could care less if they get another one. But we want that one because it'll make DXCC, or we'll have all 323 countries or whatever, and we need that last one. And he'll explain to us how to get that person to send the QSL card that we need back. So Lee's a great guy, don't you think? So, of course.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Lee is the consummate contest and DX maven, as we would say back in New York.
The maven, right.
Or Chicago.
That's true, and Lee is from Chicago. In fact, Lee graduated from the same high school that I did. So, and I never knew him.
That is impressive.
Big deal, right? And 2 weeks ago, I had a guy on who was born the same day in the same year that I was. Now, that was a unique. Write this number down. 228-2336. No, that's not our number. 228-2336. But write this number down. That's the number to call when you're interested in saving money, big money, on a new vehicle. 228-2336. That's a direct line to Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ. Ken's the fleet manager for Linda Brock Auto Mall on McDowell Road in Scottsdale. And Linda Brock carries in stock Dodges, BMWs, Oldsmobiles, and Volkswagens, which, of course, are all very good cars and vehicles, vans, trucks. But when you call Ken Nichols directly, you have your choice of any make, any model, any manufacturer, any and all options, and all at the lowest prices anywhere. In fact, in the past few weeks, I've been reading letters from extremely satisfied customers of Ken Nichols. Ken's customers really do like his caring approach, his caring service, his low-key selling. He doesn't try to high-pressure you, and they like, probably best of all, really, his prices. As well as the ability to call one person for any vehicle at all. I mean, really, he's like a broker, but he's not. He's better than a broker because he's with an agency, legitimately, selling vehicles at the lowest prices anywhere. And he's even sold a van to a lady in Germany. And I know, and I saw the deposit and the transaction. So he sells vehicles all over the world. All you need to do to get the best prices on a vehicle is call 228-2336. Tell Ken what vehicle and options you want. Ken will quote you the lowest price right then and there. He has two computers, really, in his office, and he punches in all the options, all the model, everything, all the information, and it comes up with his cost, and he works on a very small margin and gives you a low price. And there's no hassles. You don't have to say, no, I don't want to pay that. I'll give you this. There's none of that. He gives you the lowest price first, and it is the low price, really. And if you want to trade a vehicle, he takes that. He also does leasing, and he has special financing available. Ken has all this available for you. Also, don't make a mistake. I mean, you know, I know someone who actually purchased a vehicle elsewhere and then said, oh, I should have called Ken. And I said, why don't you just call him and find out? And he's very sad that he didn't know about Ken and didn't listen ahead of time. So don't make a mistake, too. Call Ken Nichols first. Get a car from him. You'll not be disappointed. His phone number, 228-2336. 228-2336. You can also talk about ham radio because he is a ham, you know, and he has been for many, many years. He's even operated out of Barry Goldwater's house during, I believe, the Vietnam War for Mars. So, very nice guy. If you've never talked to Ken, just give him a call and talk ham radio. 228-2336. Fleet prices direct to you. Okay, you're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN. Our phone number is 230-2755. And get online and talk to us. Otherwise, Todd and I are going to bore you. By the way, I took this off of the Packet bulletin board. I love, you know, if you guys are not on Packet, you really should be. Next in June, June the 14th, in fact, that's a time to mention, I've got all kinds of upcoming shows, like Lee Finkel next week on May, and we're also going to try to get some information the following week, May 3rd. We're going to have Alex and Alan from Carl Hayden, and they have a car, an electric car, entered into the big race next Sunday. And we're going to try to get a lot of information when they're here on that. And they have a ham radio group there. They've actually got new students and who have passed their tests and our licenses, gotten new licenses. So that's pretty good. We're going to have a special day, May 10th. We're going to have three different VEs here. We're going to talk about how to get a license, how they give tests, how the tests have changed over the years, etc., etc. And, you know, they do that all at no charge, volunteering their time. And, you know, sometimes we need to appreciate that when it takes them an hour to grade the test or something and, you know, understand all they've gone through. Then again, May 17th, we'll talk about Father Moran. Then we're going to have somebody here on May 31st to talk about Carl, AFOX, to talk about how to build your own antennas. Some people don't want to go out and buy an antenna. Well, we're going to talk about how to build them, do them inexpensively. Then we're going to have a show on Field Day, and we're going to have a show on June the 14th involving just packet bulletin boards, how to use bulletin boards, all the information you can get, and also packet nodes. And if you're not on packet, you're really missing something because it is really amazing.
Yeah, be there or be square.
That's right. Packet is really an interesting place to be. And you don't need a computer. The dumb terminal will work. So, but this I got off. I just thought it was a little bit of humor, and I just thought it was kind of, how do you know when you're growing old? And Todd brought his dad in today, and not that you're old, but you're older than Todd. And so I said I said a couple of these, and Todd said, yes, there's proof. Here it is. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. That's how you know you're getting older. The gleam in your eye is from the sun hitting your bifocals. That's how you know you're getting old. You know you're getting old if you feel like the night before and you haven't been anywhere. Okay, so I feel like Johnny Carson doesn't get jokes on all his monologues either. Okay, you know you're getting old when you get winded playing chess. You know you're getting old when your children begin to look middle-aged. Todd?
Well, my kids are making me feel old-aged, but I don't know about them. They're still pretty young.
You know you're growing older. It's not that you're old. You know you're growing older when you join the health club, but you don't go. Or you know all the answers, but no one ever asked you a question. You know you're growing older when you sit in a rocking chair and can't get it going. You know you're growing older when your knees buckle and your belt won't. Now, I'm finding that right now. You know you're growing older when your back goes out more often than you do. You know you're growing older when a fortune teller offers to read your face. I'm sorry, Forrest. This is what it says here. You know you're growing older when you burn the midnight oil and it's only 9 p.m. You know you're growing older when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. You know you're growing older when your pacemaker, hear this, Dad, when your pacemaker makes the garage door go up when a pretty girl walks by. You know you're growing older when the best part of your day is over when the alarm goes off in the morning. This was sent by George, W5QNR, for the enjoyment of all. Thanks, George. I know, I had to bore you. You know, 2 hours, we get a lot more time to do things. Sorry about that. All right, let's go back to the packet cluster. What are some of the it's not working like a normal packet bulletin board, because when you go into a normal one, you want to read something, you do R, whatever, or two or three people are connected, you do U, you can see who the users are. But if you want to see who all the users on the packet cluster, you have to use different commands. And don't they use like SH a lot?
Yeah, that's correct. The packet cluster uses software from Pavilion Software, and the commands are different than what you would find on your average packet bulletin board. I haven't used the packet bulletin boards all that much. I was a cluster user right from the beginning, but the show command is certainly one of the more frequently used ones, and that will allow you to see what particular DX stations have been on in the last hour or the last couple of hours or last day. You can use it to show QSL routes if there's a country that you've just contacted and you want to know what the mailing address is or who the QSL manager is by typing show/QSL. You can get that information, and that's a very handy way of finding out the QSL route of a particular station. Also, if you want to look up some information about a particular ham in the United States, you would put show/ham and then the QS and then the call sign of that ham, and it'll give you the name, the level of license, the year of license, and the address of that particular ham. So also very handy.
After ham, you leave a space? Or?
That's correct. You show ham, space, and then the call sign, like N7PMP. You can get WWV announcements and bulletins by putting in show/WWV to get some information about propagation. You can show headings of particular stations, so if you had a beam antenna, you could be able to turn your rotor in a particular direction for that particular DX station. Also, you can look at messages by typing DI for directory, and that will show you all the messages that have been on in recent hours or minutes on the cluster. It's just loads and loads of commands that allow you to do many different things. If you wanted to upload information or bulletins to the cluster, there are commands for doing that. And if you want to read particular bulletins, there's a command called type/files. When you know the name of a particular file, you would type type/files and then the particular file name and extension, and that will display the file for you.
Well, there are so many commands. The book, that blue book, is what, about 80 pages?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
There are so many things that this packet cluster does. No wonder Jim N7US has gray hair.
That's right, whatever hair is left. Sorry, Jim, just joking. We love you.
It is really amazing, though, all the things that it does. And you can have, is there an unlimited amount of people that can be connected at the same time?
I'm not sure about that, but we've had some enormous number of people that have been connected at one time recently. I think there were about 300 users sometime last week.
Just do SH/ users, and
you can see
all the people that are attached. And you can send messages back and forth to the people that are connected also.
Yes, that's a very useful feature, being able to talk. You would just say talk or T/N7PMP, and if I'm on the cluster, somebody could have a conversation with me.
It's really neat, and we may talk more about it. If you're interested more about it, give us a call, 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN. We'll be back after the break. We really would like to hear some buy, sell, and trade items. If you have any computer or ham-related gear that you'd like to sell or buy, please give us a call after the news. And we thank you for listening. This is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and you're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN Radio.